one of these little mini grocery bags. This is what I want you to think about today during the message. Imagine this is, it's like a little grocery bag. What would you put in this bag if you knew a kid who was hungry? So if you're a writer, you can write a list of things that you would put in there. If you're a drawer, you could draw some things. And after the service, I'd love to see what kind of things you would put in a grocery bag for a kid who was hungry. It's beginning to look a lot like Thanksgiving. And 25 days from now, November 27th, Americans will gather and they will eat and eat and eat. What does that look like, Todd? They will eat turkey and stuffing and potatoes and cranberries. They'll eat till they're full and sleepy, and then they'll get up and eat some pie. And then go to bed and eat, and then wake up and eat again whatever was left over. Americans will eat till they're full. Many of them will. Some of them will. About 85% of them will. But some will not. In the United States, 15% of households struggle to put food on the table. That amounts to 49 million Americans and includes almost 16 million children. In Minnesota, 1 in 10 households face food insecurity, and this happens in rural, suburban, urban settings and among children, adults, and seniors. In the news, as we know, as of yesterday, SNAP benefits have been put on hold for the month of November. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as food stamps. And they are benefits that are provided to individuals and families who live near the poverty line to give them the ability to buy groceries. This affects 440,000 Minnesotans, and almost 10% of Hennepin County residents depend on SNAP to alleviate the cost of food. So this is close to home, and this is real. Just this week, on one day, we had three emails and at least one or two phone calls with groups calling to ask Bloomington Covenant Church if we could help. We're going to need more food. The food shelves are scrambling to fill them up. And it's hard to picture these large numbers. It's hard to picture it when we talk about millions and thousands and hundreds of thousands. It's hard for us because most of us have never been hungry. And it's, I would assume, if you look at the percentages, someone or some few people in this room know what it's like to be hungry. That there was a time in your life where food was scarce. You know what it's like to feel hungry and to be concerned about when you would find your next meal. And maybe even today someone is struggling to get groceries in their home. And if that's you, please talk to Pastor Anna or to me. We want to help. But most of us in this room do not know what it's like to face hunger, even though we say things like, I'm starving, or I'm so hungry I could eat a bear. Someone eats a bear, someone eats a horse. Even though we let a lot of food go to waste, even though we complain when the grocery store doesn't have all of the things that we want. Just last week for me, it was pico de gallo. Why can't they just have the pico de gallo when I want it? And I found myself complaining and then stopping to think about the fact that I wasn't going to go hungry. It was going to be okay. What is it really like to be hungry? My friend Carter's going to come up and read a story that's told by a young boy from Kentucky about what it was like for him as a teenager to experience hunger. Thank you, Carter.
I have a lot of weight on my shoulders for a 14-year-old. I can't stand our situation. I've had to sacrifice a lot since my mom lost her job. Our food stamps have gone from $300 to $200 a month for my mom and I. We are not able to afford healthy foods that some people can. It's usually chips, bologna sandwiches, and all that. We've had to open up canned foods from the pantry that's probably older than me. Eating like this and knowing that your friends are eating regular food makes me feel like I'm not normal. We run out of food some months, and I've gone days without sleep because of hunger. The next day, I'll go through class pinching myself, doing stuff to stay awake. Being hungry affects how your appearance, how you act. When I'm hungry, I'm not in the mood for anything. I'm depressed. Then my mom picks me up, and I continue to work as hard as I can in school. I've wanted to become a surgeon since the fourth grade. I keep reminding myself that if I work hard in life, I can get to where I'm fine. Then I can buy my mom a new house.
Around the world, the main cause of hunger is poverty, and every day, almost 800 million people face being hungry. Hunger is caused by conflict and displacement and extreme weather and economic strain. Like Mike said before, it's complex, all of the reasons that people are hungry. And again, they find ways to try to take care of that hunger. There's a picture here from Haiti. And a quote that says, in desperate times, extremely poor families in Haiti will mix clay from the ground with water, oil, and salt to create a clay cookie. These cookies are eaten by adults and children in order to fill their stomachs when food is not available. Hunger is about food insecurity. It's about not knowing if you will have something to eat. There's hidden hunger where people are eating something like one of these cookies, but there's no vitamins or minerals in what they are eating. Hunger means you don't have the option to eat or you don't get enough calories or nutrients. And when you're hungry, it's hard to learn and to work and to function. It's hard to care for others. It's hard to fight disease and to grow. Hunger hurts. Hunger Limits, says Nikki Johnston Huston in her Huff blog post. She says, hunger limits you in a way that is difficult to describe because you're constantly thinking about getting food, keeping food, and not knowing when you're going to eat next. It's a vicious cycle. You want something better, but you don't know how to get it. And Jesus calls us to care. In Matthew 25, he says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. He says to some and to others, he says, I was hungry and you did not give me something to eat. Because Jesus cares about hunger. God cares about food. God cares about people who are literally, physically hungry. And all over the Bible, there's talk about food and about hunger and about how God provides for those who hunger. God provides manna in the desert for the wandering Israelites. The Psalms sing about how God provides food for the hungry. Before Jesus dies, the last thing he does is he feeds the disciples a meal. He teaches them about spiritual food as they eat real food together. And then after his death and resurrection, Jesus again shows his concern for the hungry. His disciples go fishing, and they are out in the boat when they realize that Jesus is on the shore, and so they hightail it to get there, to get close to Jesus, and find him there with a fire burning and a meal prepared for them, and Jesus feeds a boatload of hungry fishermen. And then he begins to speak in John 21. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Simon answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter as he has literally just fed Simon and his friends fish for dinner. And I've always read this passage thinking that Jesus is talking about something spiritual. Peter, there are people who are hungry for me. They're hungry for something spiritual. Care for them and feed them. And I am sure that Jesus means that. And we could take another sermon and do that, but I am also sure that Jesus meant something even more tangible. Feed my sheep. Make sure that nobody goes hungry. I just fed you this meal. Now it's your turn to do that. We read this story from Mark where Jesus feeds 5,000 people. And we see that when he's faced with a huge crowd of hungry people, Jesus says to his disciples, you feed them. They're your problem. They're yours there, and they are hungry. You feed them, literally. If you know me, if you've hungered for God and you've been fed, if you then care about people who are hungry. Hunger for God moves us to action to meet the needs of hungry people. The call to feed is the call to feed the least of these, to feed Jesus, who identifies with the hungry. The problem of hunger seems huge, but here's the thing about hunger. It doesn't have to be a reality. There is enough food on the earth for everyone. The problem isn't scarcity. The problem is distribution. The problem is sharing. The problem is sustainability. The problem is poverty. The problem is access to food that gets often blocked by human beings. The organization Bread for the World has a goal to end hunger by 2030 because they really think it's possible. It doesn't have to be this way. And we hear Jesus say, with God, all things are possible. So if Jesus can take two fish and a few loaves of bread and feed thousands, Jesus can multiply whatever we are willing to share to feed thousands and millions who are hungry. We are called to care and invited to share, and it doesn't take that much. A few cents provides a meal through Feed My Starving Children that gets shipped to places all over the world. Whatever you have is enough if you're willing to share, because nothing is impossible. And so at Bloomington Covenant Church, we are committed to being aware of hunger, and as a church, to stepping in places that we can, and then inviting ourselves as individuals to find places to serve. So here's a short list of things we can do. Today, there are grocery carts out there. You can bring food for Veep. Veep's our local food shelf. They will give food to people, and they're going to need more, especially starting with this month. So you can bring food or support them financially. Meet Mike today after the service and hear more about Feed My Starving Children. Today, as our ushers are standing at the doors, if you provide for our benevolent offering, we can actually help feed people who are hungry. We have vouchers for Cub in Bloomington that we can fill out and hand to someone, and they can go there to buy groceries. We host a group called Fair for All that brings food into our gym and sells it at a very low price. You can check your local schools. Many schools have programs where they fill backpacks with food to send home with kids for the weekend whose families might not have something in the fridge or the cupboard. We are collecting offerings for Covenant World Relief and Development. We'll do that offering on Thanksgiving, but be thinking ahead. There's World Vision. There's Bread for the World. There are countless organizations that might spur your interest, and it's to make it possible to share enough to be able to feed people who are really hungry. You might share money, time, tangible items, and share your prayers. Let's pray. God, we pray today for you to multiply whatever we give, whatever came in those grocery carts today, whatever will go to the Benevolent Fund or to the other organizations. We pray that you would multiply those things and you would clear the pathways to get people the food that they need. Continue, Lord, to tweak our hearts as you call us to care. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.